on the 20th of November 2003, the disabled people and able-bodied people were involved in a major walk which took place in the Wicklow Mountains. The Wicklow Rally, which was organised by the Dublin Centre of Independent Living, aimed to highlight issues and concerns around independent living in Ireland. We visited Glenmorlure, County Wicklow, and we spoke to a number of people that organised and took part in the rally. Over the next 7 hours, we're going to find out why the rally took place, what the main objectives of the independent living movement in Ireland. We're also going to find out why is Europe so important to disabled people in Ireland. The Dublin Centre for Independent Living was set up in 1992 to give people choice and control and to achieve full and active participation as equal citizens in society. Peter Moore is just one of those who was involved in the whole independent living movement in Ireland, and we spoke to Peter to find out the main aims and objectives of this year's walk.
The aim of the walk is to
The aim of the walk is to raise the funds for Centre for Independent Living
in Bosnia.
In Bosnia. That is the main aim, but
this is more than that.
It's more than that.
Solidarity.
Solidarity. For people with disabilities.
In the all over the world.
It's a signal of our government
that
we are still here.
And we are still strong. The government.
Don't know. The difference between PAs and care workers. There's nothing wrong with care workers. They're needed in certain situations.
They're not PAs.
I can drive my PA.
He controls his PA.
Daddy has control the care worker.
Somebody else controls the care worker. That's the difference.
You and me.
Intended to control their lives.
As much as anyone.
It's about freedom.
Nothing more, nothing less.
We are doing this 30 years.
You're
not going to give up. He's one of the people.
Yes, they would go.
That would go. That would go on the strike. Starve. He will go on strike, starving. Hunger strike.
If
his PA
was taken away,
if his PA is taken away, he would go on hunger strike. He wouldn't do it for himself, but for because that would do him no good. What to do in particular for young people?
You're
taking out the freedom. That was denied. You, that was denied, Peter. Until 10 years ago.
I'm talking to Mary Llewellyn, one of the organizers of the Great Big Look Walk. How many years has this been taking place, Mary?
This is just the second one. Now, we're hoping that this is going to be an annual event to run for at least 5 years. Last year was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And it happened without a huge amount of organising. And it happened more or less at the last minute. And it worked so well, that's why we decided to do it again and make it an annual event and to do it. This year, the Special Olympics were held earlier. And a lot of us that are involved in this walk today were also involved in Special Olympics. So really, we waited until Special Olympics was over before starting any of the organising for this walk. There's a couple of aims for it. One is the actual challenge of people with disabilities being able to go hill walking. That in itself is a big part of this. There's also the whole concept of integration and sharing and solidarity, both with able-bodied and disabled groups. And the third aim for it is the start of what the lads are calling the Freedom Drive to Strasbourg, to present Ireland's stance on disability issues. But one of the slogans or themes of people here today is nothing about us without us.
My name is Selena Bonney and I'm the chairperson of the Europe and International Working Group of the Centre for Independent Living. I wouldn't have done the kind of underground organisational work that would have been done by the CIL office and volunteers, but I would have been involved from the level of as chair of the International Working Group. Yeah. And then I would have a lot of contacts with, for example, Patricia McKenna, MEP, and that. So I would have helped by suggesting contacts like that.
I'm a nurse and I started my training as a teenager in Balldoyle, which then was a hospital for people with both physical and mental disabilities. And I've always been interested, I've always been involved, I've always been friends with people with disabilities. But how this whole concept came about is I started hill walking myself a couple of years ago, and some of the lads, and particularly Martin, helped me with some of the fundraising I was doing for the walking stuff we were doing. And from that it was born, you know, would we just do some hill walking, you know, for people with disabilities. It just came about, just gestated over years and years, and I've been involved with it just because I know people and I'm friends with people, rather than any huge political ambition of mine, I can assure you. Last year I think there was about 100 all told, and I was hoping that it would be nearer to the 200 this year, but the weather has kind of snookered that greatly. The walk itself, I'm changing the route by the minute here, because the road is on a dry day, the track is actually grand and manageable, but it's lashing rain and parts of the track are too muddy, wheelchairs will get stuck in the mud, parts are too slippy, people would slide on the shale, and going down can be as tough as going up. So, you know, the walk is shortening and shortening, and I think a lot of people haven't come in anticipation of the walk not being doable. So I think numbers are well down. If there's 60 people, I'll be happy, very happy. Well, last year there was a different dimension to the walk as well, insofar as that there was Sam with me as well, and a few others did the entire Wicklow Way walk, which is 84 miles, and finished up here, and then the 10k circular rally here was for everybody, but there was just a select few doing the whole of the Wicklow Way. And so there was a lot of fundraising from that aspect of it besides this one, and the total fee last year was
15,000.
And I believe was that to set up a centre for independent living in?
No, not here, not for
Bosnia,
Ireland, in Bosnia. Yeah, there's a Bridge to Bosnia campaign, which is to bring the whole independent living movement to other countries where it doesn't exist, Bosnia being the one of choice.
The social model of disability has been around for quite a while now in the Irish disability movement. And the philosophy of independent living is just pretty much about the self-determination of people with disabilities. It is a political movement. There are young people coming on board who, as Mary was stating, nothing about us without us, being that we are the ones who will make decisions. We are the experts on our own conditions and we know exactly what we want. Young people coming into the disability movement now are better educated, they're more aware and more politically motivated. The Centre for Independent Living have been operating a personal assistant exchange programme with Bosnia over the last few years, and a lot of the fully trained personal assistants would have been going back to Bosnia and bringing the message back over. There would be strong links forged in Bosnia, and the money raised here last year, 15,000, would be worth 3 to 4 times that amount in Bosnia to set up the Centre for Independent Living in Banja Luka.
Are you going to Strasbourg?
No, I'm helping to coordinate the campaign over this side, which we are encouraging everyone to log on to www.cilcampaign.org, where they will find details of submitting letters to the local MEPs to support all the Irish people from the independent living movement going over. And it's to keep it at the keep the issues at the forefront.
So we've a very busy schedule. Really, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday will be the working days. On Tuesday, we will be meeting with our MEPs. So the Irish delegation will be meeting with the President of the European Parliament, who is an Irishman himself, Pat Cox, and we'll be meeting with the Disability Intergroup of the European Parliament as well. And then also during the week, the Wednesday, there will be a rally. So it'll be a march to the European Parliament and then a rally at the Parliament. And there's about 150 disabled people from around Europe coming together for this. So it's not just Ireland, it's kind of under the umbrella of the European Network on Independent Living. So the chairman of the network, John Evans, will also be there with us for the week. And then on Thursday, we'll be meeting with the European Court of Human Rights on a number of issues, including the issue around, we'll be meeting with the Committee for the Prevention of Torture and talking to them around disabled people and torture and kind of institutions and that. The Irish MEPs have been very helpful and very cooperative. There was a training programme leading up to this where there was 9 workshops nationally around the country training disabled people to understand what the European Union is and how you can interact with the European Union and use your power as a citizen of Europe. And local MEPs would have been involved in that through supporting either by a venue or turning up at the training. So they've been on board right from the start. And some of the MEPs like Mary Bonatti and Patricia McKenna and Brian Crowley and a couple of the others have been very helpful in helping to arrange meetings in Strasbourg as well. Yeah. So I would say I'd be very positive about their support.
John Downs from Bree and John is a disability consultant with CIL. John, could you tell us a bit about the whole philosophy of independent living?
Really where people with disabilities are coming at the whole disability angle from now is the difference between the medical model and the social model. And the medical model generally just confines the disability to the person that's in the wheelchair. So I cause the problem because I've got the disability. Whereas the essential difference would be that, for instance, I would say that it's not me that causes the disability, it's the environment around me. I might want to get into a radio station to do an interview. There might be steps in the way. Now, the fact that the steps are there is what hinders me from getting in. I'm actually able to do the interview. If the steps weren't in the way, I could get in. So it's not my disability that causes the problem, but it's the environment around me. And that will be essentially the difference between the medical model and the social model. The social model looks at the environment. The medical model looks at the problem line within the person themselves. This whole rally that CIL are involved in at the moment is essentially about trying to get government to look at disability rights and to bring in legislation that's rights-based. At the moment, the last bill that the government produced was thrown out because it wasn't rights-based. And basically what they said was, well, we'll tell you that you can have A, B, C and D, but if we don't deliver it, you're not allowed to go to the courts. Now, that doesn't happen with any other section of society, but only with people with disabilities. So a number of groups kind of reared their heads and said, we're not having that. The bill was forced to be withdrawn. And what's happening now is that there's new legislation due to come out. We're reckoning around November. And it looks like MacDill, the Minister for Justice, is going to roll back again and that we're still not going to get a rights-based legislation. At the moment, we're doing the Wicklow Way Walk. And I suppose part of that is just to show that people with disabilities can go anywhere, can do anything. There's nothing that we can't do. And if the environment is right around us, if the personal assistance services are there that we need, then there's nothing to hold us back. What happens currently around the country is that it's very hit and miss. There are parts of the country where there are no personal assistance services. There are others where they're operated on a FOSS scheme. And while FOSS has been very useful and very good, it also has its drawbacks. Because once somebody is trained as a personal assistant, you might have them for a year. And at the end of that year, you have to replace that person and start the whole process again. The Irish Wheelchair Association then would also run PA services. And in some areas, the health boards have kicked in. But it's very hit and miss. So there's no PA service that's kind of countrywide, and there's none that's European-wide. So there's a group that are going from here over to Strasbourg, and the group that are going to Strasbourg would be looking for rights-based legislation for personal assistance on a European-wide scale. If, for instance, I wanted to go on holidays now, I have to leave my PA at home, or else I have to pay for them myself to go. And without them, I'm not able to go on holidays or work abroad or whatever it is that I want to do. So that's really what we're about. We're about trying to make people notice that people with disabilities have a lot to contribute if they're given the opportunity to do so.
And what do you think of this system about three or four hours a day? Surely that's not proper independent living.
It's not, Danny, but we're unfortunately in the position where we have to take what we're given at the moment, and that's why we're looking for legislation that we can actually go to the courts with and say, look, what we have is not good enough. I suppose it's a bit like, I would kind of like liken a personal assistant to maybe a manager who's working in a big company, and he has his PA there to kind of do the paperwork to make sure he gets the phone calls. And for us to do our jobs or to just be independent, we need the same type of service. I can't imagine how a lot of maybe the Smurfits of this world would manage if they didn't have somebody to do all the paperwork for them, or if the government just all of a sudden said, well, sorry, but you can only have your secretary for 2 hours a day, it would bring the country to a standstill. So the same thing happens in terms of the lives of people with disabilities. For 4 hours is as long as we can be independent, and after that we can no longer be independent.
It's crazy, because peas are legs.
And in the same way as, it's not a luxury, and it's something that people use all the time. For instance, if you've got a car, most people don't know how to operate their own car or how to fix their own car. So what they do is they bring it into a garage. We're in a position, a lot of us, where due to having a disability, we may not be able to get out of bed in the morning. But if we have somebody to come in and we can tell them what clothes we want to put on, then we can go out and we can be an equal part of society as anybody else. There's a lot of areas where people with disabilities are denied access. And even in the local community, a lot of local authorities, for instance, are in areas that are not accessible. When building plans are being put up, for instance, they're normally displayed in a place that's not accessible. And as a wheelchair user or as somebody with a disability, you only find out after the building has been built that planning permission has been allowed to go ahead with no access.
What do you think is wrong, John, that this legislation, even though it's there, what do you think is wrong that it's not implemented properly?
Government essentially are putting it down to money, and they have put a value on the life of somebody with a disability, and there's a price which they're not prepared to go beyond. Our argument would be, in terms of personal assistance, that you can't put value on participation and on democracy and on people being allowed to socialise and be involved. But government have decided that there's a point at which they will not fund us to be part of society. And I think that's essentially where the problem lies.
Well, if they do feel the slightest bit guilty, they've kept it well hidden, because time and again there's cutbacks. People with disabilities mostly are affected first and foremost, and the hardest, by any of the cutbacks. And one of the points about the Solidarity Rally is to call on the government to mainstream the personal assistance service and the community employments, which they've cut back hugely. A lot of the Centres for Independent Living in the country would operate the personal assistance service through community employment, and there's been savage cutbacks, as we're all aware of. So they're certainly not helping the independent living movement. If anything, they have been helping dilute the whole philosophy by their actions.
I think the Irish government can always do more, both at home and abroad, for all their citizens, not just disabled people. But I think they have failed disabled people, miserably failed disabled people. And if it's going to take us as European citizens to go to Europe to exercise our rights, to get Europe to make Ireland support its disabled citizens, well then that's what we'll have to do.
There's 37 million people with disabilities in Europe, and there's if you take the European average, you're talking about 350,000 people in this country that are people with disabilities. So there is a massive incentive for government to actually put in place the stuff that we need. I think there's a huge challenge now because Ireland are about to take over the presidency of the European Union now, and I think that's a 6-month slot. And once we take that over, that's where we have the authority to actually change things for the better. And I think if there's MEPs out there that are listening, now is the time to start acting.
I think so.
Now is the time to start looking at what people with disabilities want. I mean, it's a very simple kind of process. For instance, if you look at accessible transport and low-floor buses are very useful for somebody who's a wheelchair user to get on. But they're just as useful for somebody who's the mother and has two babies and a buggy and trying to bring her shopping home. You know, so she doesn't have to unload the kids and she doesn't have to take all the shopping off. So it makes life easy for everybody. And I mean, it was a survey done a few years ago. I think it was outside the Mansion House, and they had the steps and then they had the ramp. And almost everybody that saw the ramp used it, including the non-disabled people. So we're not asking for anything that's kind of rocket science. I mean, we can get people to the moon, but we can't get on a bus around rural Ireland. It just doesn't make sense. The whole poverty trap around somebody who has a disability, because, I mean, it's a big, big step for somebody with a disability to give up their medical card, for instance. But if you go to work, you lose your medical card, and that can be a serious hindrance for somebody with a disability. But when you're talking about transport, I mean, essentially that is because the system was set up around the purchase of disability transport. The system was set up around people who were involved in road crashes or accidents and had compensation claims. It's a system that suits somebody who has money behind them, because you have to buy the van or the car or whatever it is first, and then you get your VAT or your VRT back afterwards. But it's not suitable to somebody who's not employed or who's employed but doesn't have a lump sum behind them. It's a system that doesn't suit very well. I think the Centre for Independent Living has made a difference, because we've actually pointed out to people that, you know, there is a different view. There's another option. And what CIL has always been about is options and rights and choices and empowerment. And up to now, or before the concept of Centre for Independent Living, there were no choices. You were if you had a disability, you were placed in an institution, and unless you were you were very lucky with your parents and that they kept you at home. But generally, you were kept in an institution, and that was how it was. Now we can actually offer people the opportunity to come out of institutions with personal assistance, with some supports and backups, and to come back into the community.
But John, do you not agree, really, if someone was to come out of an institution this minute, the hours are so short that they can get, there's no way they could.
There is, but at the same time, Danny, some independence is better than none.
Oh yeah.
And before CIL, there was none. There wasn't even the choice.
Yeah.
Now people have the choice that if they want to try and be independent, even if it's only for a couple of hours, that they can manage that.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm not knocking it like that.
And I just think that's a big step. But I think the bigger step would be government putting in place proper personal assistance right across the country, and no variation, so that you get the same personal assistance in whichever part of the country that you're in.
Okay.
And if you're a person with a disability, you'd be entitled to it.
I'm joined by Sam again. Could you give me your thoughts on today's Sam?
On today's solidarity rally. In all fairness, even though there wasn't as many participants as last year, it was nevertheless a fantastic turnout. And especially in light of the horrendous weather conditions we've experienced today on the route. I think it could be fair to say that there was as much, if not more, solidarity shown on this rally than last year, because it was a comfortable experience last year with fantastic weather and everything. But everyone ploughed through the bad weather, got it done and got back all wet. But there was a lot of comradeship shown today. And it's keeping the issues of the independent living movement to the forefront.
I'd say it was impossible to push a wheelchair out there, was it?
Well, it's not impossible. I don't think there's anything is impossible if you're a person with a disability. It's determination of the person.
Yeah.
And anything is possible.
Yeah.
So we got there. There was a bit of a puffing and panting, but we got there, like, you know.
This program was presented by Danny Ahern. It was produced by Kieran Ryan at Wired FM Studios, Mary Immaculate College, Limerick. Wired FM would like to thank all at the Centre for Independent Living for their support and cooperation in making this program. This program was funded by the National Disability Authority under the European Year of People with Disabilities Fund 2003.